It's Saturday, June 6, 2020. I'm Doc Washburn, and my guest today is Ms. Charlene Wilson, an exclusive interview which we're recording for posterity. By way of introduction, we plan to discuss one of the biggest murder mysteries in the history of the state of Arkansas, the Boys on the Tracks, the murders of 16-year-old Don Henry and 17-year-old Kevin Ives. In the early morning hours of August 23, 1987, along railroad tracks in the vicinity of the town of Alexander in central Arkansas. Ms. Wilson has asked for this opportunity to set the record straight. I host the local afternoon radio talk show in the Little Rock Metro on News Radio 1029 KARN. But even though my show primarily discusses current events, I've done extensive coverage of the Boys on the Tracks story. The fact that no one has ever been brought to trial for the murders is one of the aspects of this story that causes longtime residents of Arkansas to be interested in the double homicide of two teenage boys that happened almost 33 years ago. It's pretty commonly known in central Arkansas that there was a railroad train headed north in the vicinity of Alexander, Arkansas, and the three men on the train saw two bodies on the tracks and had only 5 seconds to stop the train, which was impossible. But as they squealed the brakes and as they blew the horn, they noticed that neither body flinched. So when Saline County deputies Richmond and Talent got there, the men on the train tried to explain to them the boys were already dead. The paramedics who got there tried to explain to the deputies that because there was very little blood and what blood there was already quite dark, the boys were already dead. Since the two Saline County deputies ignored pretty much everything that the men on the train and the paramedics said, the prevailing theory in central Arkansas for many years has been that the fix was in from the start. There were a number of federal and state investigations that were shut down, and it's pretty much accepted in central Arkansas that they were shut down by powerful forces much higher up the food chain. Linda Ives, the mother of Kevin Ives, one of the murder victims, has never stopped trying to find out the truth about exactly who murdered her son and his friend. Several years ago, retired Little Rock police detective Carol Harrison went through boxes of evidence from the Boys on the Tracks murder case in an attempt to look at this cold case with fresh eyes. He discovered what seemed to be a 4-page confession signed by Arkansas resident Charlene Wilson in 1993 of her witnessing the murders. Ms. Wilson has asked for this opportunity to try to set the record straight and share for the first time anywhere exactly what she knows and what she doesn't know about the Boys on the Tracks murders, and why she says her so-called written confession is not only untrue, but was not even written voluntarily. Ms. Wilson, the statement which purports to be written and signed by you May 28, 1993, has what appears to be the signatures of three men who were law enforcement officers at the time. It also has a detailed description of a version of events, which it says transpired the night of August 22nd, leading into the early morning hours of August 23rd, 1987, of the murders of Kevin Ives and Don Henry, the boys on the tracks. It's been almost 33 years since the murders, over 27 years since the date that is on what they say is your confession. Why at this point, June 6, 2020, at long last, are you wanting to challenge this document, and what do you want the world to know about it and about what happened that night?
Where do I begin? There's a whole lot to say with the insurmountable a bunch of hogwash that I never seen the confession until today.
Wow.
Jean had asked me about it when I had visited with her last year.
Jean Duffy, who was in charge of the drug task force
yes,
in Saline County and made the mistake of trying to do her job, which did not go well,
exactly,
with the prosecuting attorney at the time, Danny Harmon, who eventually wound up going to prison himself for pushing drugs. But go right ahead.
First of all, I don't remember none of that. Second of all...
And when you're speaking, saying you don't remember none of that, talking about the details in the actual
confession.
Piece of paper.
Right, right. Exactly. By Gene Duffy last year, I said, what confession?
Now, I want to interject here that Danny Harmon, the corrupt prosecuting attorney of Saline County, who eventually went to prison himself for dealing drugs, earlier on in the 90s, had you sent to prison for a 32-year sentence for a very minor drug offenses, the kind of thing that people would not spend very much time in prison for. Before we get back to the confession, do you believe that that was a retaliation by Dan Harmon?
Yes, most definitely. Dan came to my house on the night of the drug raid, which is the December the 31st.
We're talking about New Year's Eve 1991 and New Year's Day 1992.
Right. That's okay. What we're talking about.
Yes. Right. Ma'am. Go right ahead.
I spent 303 days in the county jail, and the statute of limitations was getting very close to running out on my case. And then around November, I want to say the 6th, for some reason, I was brought to trial and the ending of that year. And I was also about a 4-day trial.
November 6th, 1992.
Right.
Which would have been right around election day, yeah.
Right, okay. I never walked out of prison until he left office.
Okay, now, we want to get back to the original question.
Yes.
About, you believe that Danny Harmon was pushing for such a long prison sentence for a relatively minor crime because he was retaliating against you.
Yes.
And I'm just trying to find out in your mind what he was retaliating for.
Because I had confronted him on those two boys that were killed.
Okay.
And he had told me to keep my mouth shut.
Okay.
To never say anything to anybody, or I would pay for it.
All right. So, Ms. Wilson, it's commonly understood, and the Boys on the Tracks book even puts out the case there, that Dan Harmon, who everyone has a pretty bad opinion about, who knows anything about him, was trying to get such a long prison sentence for you for such a minor crime because he was retaliating against you. Now, do you think that's true? And if so, what was he retaliating for?
Yes, I do believe that that is true.
So you testified before a grand jury?
Yes, I did.
And you were promised by the feds
that my name would not, that it would never be...
because a grand jury is supposed to be private.
Hidden.
It's supposed to be confidential. That's the law.
Yes.
But somehow, Dan Harmon got the list of the people who testified. And so next thing you know, you're getting a 32-year prison sentence for, again, a relatively minor crime.
And please do note that I had never had a police record before that. And the only little thing that was on my record was hot checks. And that situation had to do with the marriage and the resolvement of it.
Yeah.
And closing it out.
Yeah.
Never been in trouble before in my life before that happened.
Yeah. Now, let's go back to the confession, or what they say was the confession. If I understand correctly, you were, and correct me if I'm wrong, you were taken from the Saline County Jail up to the Faulkner County Jail. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, who took you and why did this person take you?
Okay. Judy Prajan, the sheriff then of Saline County.
91 and 92, she was the sheriff,
okay.
Yes.
She sure was. And I had previous, before I went up there that particular day, I had been going to like church camps and stuff like that and she would take me, and I would speak to kids about drugs and alcohol. And I really thought that she, I was doing something good.
So that was kind of part of community service kind
right.
of thing.
Right, yeah. And we, you know, trying to keep kids from diverting yourself to drugs.
Don't make the mistakes I made.
Yeah, absolutely. And very there's good. No better person to relate to than someone like that, than a person that has lived it. And right. I have lived right. it. That day, I didn't know what we were going up there for. It was Judy Pridgen and the chief deputy. And I was in the back seat, and the chief deputy and Judy drove me up there. And when we got up there, we got out. Now, mind you, you know, I wasn't handcuffed. I wasn't in a prison, a jail uniform or anything like that. I was dressed in jeans and a shirt, and we went in there, and I thought I was going to speak to a group of kids or something about the do's and don'ts of drugs.
Right.
And that wasn't anything like that at all. When I went into the Faulkner County Jail, now, I don't know what it's like now, but I can tell you vividly what it was like then.
Yes.
You go into the jail, and you kind of see rooms off to the side, little like a cubicle, but it was sure. all glass.
Right.
And they had taken me in there and put me in the very front room on the back end of the building, facing where you come into the entrance of the jail there, or the sheriff's office, or whatever it is. And they set me down there. Judy Pridgen and the chief deputy left me, and she did bring me back something to drink in a little bit. They had called me into a room where there were two Arkansas state troopers. One was a polygraph examiner.
Yeah.
And the other one, I don't know why he was there, but I know that he introduced himself. And
well, a lot of times they do things in twos.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and they were in plain clothes. You know, they didn't have badges on or anything like that. You know.
You but know. You knew they were state troopers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
they'll
okay.
They'll set it right there on their little thing. And, you know, but they were in there. And then Judy at that point then said, Charlene, this is my friend from the Arkansas State Police, and we would like to polygraph you about and corroborate what you had, you know, said in your statements.
And the grand jury testimony?
I don't know if it was that one.
Or maybe something else.
Or maybe something else, exactly.
Right, right, right. But, so, but you're an open book at this point. You're along for the ride. Okay, fine, whatever.
Well, I thought everything was great.
So they gave you the polygraph examination?
Not right then. Okay. They asked me several different questions.
Before they hooked you up.
Okay. Before they hooked me up.
All right.
And then they told me that the only way that I could, when they asked me a question, I was to say yes or no.
Okay.
Nothing had ever came up. Okay. About the incident on the track.
Yeah.
And I could not, I was so mad. There I was, flat out in front of the police in a jail I didn't know anything about. I didn't know anybody. And I became very fearful at that point. I'm scared, wanting to go back to
Saline
Benton.
County.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back to Benton.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at that point, in the day when they did do the polygraph exam, they started out the down the front. They asked me my name, but was that my name and that I was born on this date?
Yeah,
and
the standard
standard stuff.
Right.
And then one of the questions was, "How familiar are you with the boys on the tracks?"
Yeah, how much do you know about the murder? Because by this
wasn't
time
wasn't discussed in the earlier little. Well, this is what we're going to ask you. But, you know,
but by this time they're no longer pretending that the medical examiner was telling the truth. They smoked too much dope. They fell asleep on the tracks. Everybody by this time knows they were murdered.
That. I already knew that.
The grand jury had determined it was homicide. Now, you're surprised, though, that they're focusing in on you.
Oh, yeah. I become...
Because you'd already given whatever testimony the grand jury
needed to try to clear this whole friggin' mess up. I was very, very afraid. And at that point, I did not trust anybody.
Had to be a very traumatic experience.
It was very scary, and especially when Judy Pridgen made the statement to me that I was going to be staying up in this facility for a day or two.
Let the record reflect that back in the day, the Faulkner County Jail had a pretty notorious reputation as jails go, relatively speaking, in the state of Arkansas.
Oh, yeah.
There have been a number of tales of abuse coming out of Faulkner County. And again, we're talking almost 30 years ago now as we speak in 2020. So after the polygraph exam, and you're really scared, and Judy says you're going to stay here, at any point, do you have legal representation? Does your lawyer have any idea that the sheriff took you? Because you did actually have a lawyer since you're in jail. Your lawyer has no idea that Judy Pridgen, the sheriff of Saline County, took you to Faulkner County Jail.
No, man. And at that time, and that's a very, very good thing to say, too, because at that time, that is when Gene Duffy and Linda Ives somehow, some way, got John Wesley Hall to take my case pro bono. And I was grateful for that because, unfortunately, I was court appointed Joe Kelly Harden, who is Dan Harmon's brother-in-law.
Well, that would seem to be a conflict of interest. But then again, in Saline County, conflict of interest is their middle name. But that's all another show. Let the record reflect that to this day, June 6, 2020, John Wesley Hall is known to be a very well-respected and more than competent criminal defense attorney to this day, all these years later. After the polygraph exam, Saline County Sheriff Judy Pridgen says, hey, you know what, you failed the exams, you're going to have to stay here for a day or two. Then what happens?
Well, actually, what she said was, I've got to leave right now. We're going to leave you here and come back and get you later. Now, I was thinking, a couple of hours later.
Later the same day.
Right.
Yeah.
It didn't happen like that. They escorted me back to their wonderful jail. And they took me and they put me in a rubber room with padded walls, a little window, and then I didn't even have one of those things that you put your food through. It was all the padding. And then two deputies came in. They put me in a straitjacket.
Oh, my.
Because they thought that with everything I was going through, I guess I might try to hurt myself. But I sure never expected to be put into a room like that and put in a straitjacket after they took my street clothes off me. I had to put on a jail uniform.
Yeah.
And I said, please don't leave me in here like this. I said, I can't handle this. I can't stand a closed off areas. And
so you became claustrophobic.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a pretty normal reaction.
And then I would beat on the door and ask that lady jailer, please take this jacket
straight
off
jacket.
Because I couldn't move. And I kept asking, can I please call my lawyer? Y'all later. And man, y'all later never happened at that time. Early from that evening, I didn't get nothing to eat, nothing to drink.
Not even water.
No. Why am I in this room? I begged to be taken out and put into just a regular cell.
Sure.
Because I was afraid something was going to happen to me in there, if you want to know the truth.
Sure.
I became very, hostile. And I mean hostile. My mouth is my own worst enemy sometimes. And I ended up crying myself to sleep that night. Woke up on and off and on and off. And I would go to that window and look out that little porthole and see what time it was. And I knew that it was dark outside and that they weren't coming back after me. You know what I'm saying? That she wasn't coming back after me like she said. Because at the time that Judy Prison left, I really thought that, you know, she was coming back that night. It didn't happen.
Yeah.
So, it didn't happen the next day neither.
So how long did you go without food or water?
About noon that following day, a jailer brought me a bologna and white bread sandwich in a little plastic bag. And a little cup of water about, you know, about the size of a cup, coffee cup, you know,
yeah.
The little styrofoam coffee.
So you've been in there since, what, the afternoon, the day before?
Yeah, that evening of the day before, all that night, up till about, I would say between 11 and 12, I think they brought that back there to me. And then they unlocked the door, and that woman said, you got 10 minutes to eat and drink that because I got to take the, you can't have anything in there with you. And I said, well, can you unhook me out of this?
So I can eat it.
So I can eat it. And she picked up that freaking bologna sandwich and took it out of the bag and put it right here on my.
On your chest.
On my chest. And said, you ought to be able to get to it from there. Okay.
Good luck.
Well needless to say.
You can't hold a cup of water if you're in a straitjacket.
Did not even get to drink it. I did. But that bologna sandwich, it ended up all, I mean, it didn't have anything like just bologna and white bread.
Yeah.
And it, you know, I mean, I can't get down there. I'm kind of a big woman, and it just wasn't going to happen, you know. I don't know many people that can bite their chest and try to get to a bologna sandwich.
So how long was it until you were able to drink water?
Well, finally, I think now, maybe, please forgive me if I might be off a few hours here or there. Finally, late that evening, I know that man's name is Lawson. I'm going to call him the chief deputy of
Faulkner
County.
County.
Yes.
Yeah, he showed up.
He had came back there and had the lady jailer to open the door, and he said, do you smoke? I didn't, but if that would have got me out of that thing, I was going to tell him. And I said, yeah, well, he took me right to the little door that shot out to the side to the, I guess that would be a recreation area. It's got all the little razor stuff in the jail area. And I smoked a horrible cigarette. And
did you ask him for drink
would
water?
He took me, he loosened the gird, because the way they do, they kind of like strap you in like this.
Yeah.
He had loosened the gird to where I could get my left hand out. Because I said, man, I'm left-handed, and I would really, really, really like to, you know,
stretch. Did you tell him you hadn't had a drink of water in 24
hours?
Yeah,
I told him, I said, look, I have only had a bite or two of a dried bologna sandwich and absolutely nothing to drink, and I'm parched.
In 24 hours? You told him how long it had been?
Well, I said since last night, which it had been last night.
Yeah, because this is the next evening. And did he look shocked?
No. He went and got me a cup of ice and brought me a Coca-Cola Classic and poured it off of me while I was done.
Well, at this point, even if you're not a big fan of Coca-Cola, that's going to seem like just a manna from heaven.
I killed it. You know, I did. I was very thirsty.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah. I kept asking him, why are y'all treating me this way? Why am I not back in Benton? And why can't I call Sheriff Pridgen?
And my lawyer for that matter.
Why can't my lawyer? Yeah, well, I asked him about it, you know, several times.
Well, I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess what his answer was. I was just following orders.
Well, pretty close to that. He said that he would look into it. You know,
oh, okay, well.
They were very famous at saying that they would look into it.
It sounded like if he wasn't shocked that you hadn't had a drop of water in 24 hours, maybe it was standard operating procedure for some folks.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I made this statement to this gentleman. Man, I will do anything y'all want. If you would just please get me out of that room, get me back to Benton. And I said, does your office need to be cleaned? Does your trash need to be empty? Just get me out of there because it was, it had really messed me up.
I mean, were they even letting you go to the bathroom?
I had to go to the bathroom on myself, unfortunately.
Oh, my goodness.
No bathroom.
How long did this go on?
Well, that whole time I was back there in that room.
So how long were you in?
Two and a half days.
2.5 days.
Yeah.
So Sheriff Judy Pridgen, she says she'll be back later.
And by, came back 2.5 days
by
later.
By later, she means, 2.5 days.
Mm-hmm.
60 hours.
Which was in the late evening.
In the meantime, have fun going to the bathroom on yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I begged him, please, I need a shower. I have, you know, had an accident on myself. I do remember, it wasn't the lady jailer that put me in that thing, but it was another kind of one of those smart-lipped lady jailers that said, well, what'd you pee yourself for? All you would have to have done was ask to go to the bathroom. And if looks could have killed, I would have really been in trouble. I just begged them to please let me go to the bathroom. Let me take a cold shower. Please let me go back to Benton. And eventually, they showed back up. And I really don't know. I just told them what I wanted to know what they wanted from me. Because at this point, I thought they were going to take me and kill me at that point.
So, at this point, they treated you so horribly that you figured eventually
they would kill me.
They were going to kill you. Now, the United States Constitution forbids cruel and unusual punishment in this country. And it makes you wonder if the folks running Faulkner County Sheriff's Office in the early 90s, or even Saline County Sheriff's Office in the early 90s, were even familiar with that portion of the United States Constitution, or perhaps if they'd ever heard of that document, because that's forbidden. You can't treat people like that.
They did.
This is United States of America. But eventually you got a good lawyer. But before we get to that, I apologize for getting ahead of myself. When Sheriff Judy Pridgen shows back up 2.5 days later,
I begged her to take me back to Benton. I told her I would do whatever she wanted me to do.
Yeah.
And I thought I did. I thought that she was trying to help me do good by helping others.
Up until she left you in the Faulkner County Jail.
Because it was all prearranged. It had to have been. Why you take me to a jail out of your jurisdiction?
Right.
Really?
Right.
Why do you hound me about something that, honest to God, I don't know what exactly happened that night,
right
on the tracks,
right?
I was present, but not present there. I really didn't know what was going on. I just thought,
in other words,
pick up the dope and come back to the car and off the road we go, you know?
If I understand correctly, Dan Harmon, who you had seen occasionally, he left you in the vehicle a distance away from the tracks.
Yeah, well.
But before we get to that, I want to know what you had to do to leave Faulkner County to go back to Saline County.
Well, they wanted me to, well, some of the things that are in the confession, if that's what you want to call it, some of those things were conversations, not a whole lot of them, that had been spoken of by both me and Danny personally.
Danny knew that you had spoken to the grand jury.
Yes, and about the blood on his khakis. And
he had blood on his khakis when he came back from the tracks.
From the track.
In the early morning hours of August 23rd, 1987. Yeah, but again, I want to get back to what you have to do to get Judy Pridgen to take you back from Faulkner County to Saline County.
It meant that I had killed those boys and write out what happened.
Okay, but well, the confession doesn't really say that you killed the boys, though.
I did not.
So obviously you didn't have to admit that you killed the boys to go back to Saline County, because that's not really in the confession.
Right. What it was they wanted me to, they wanted to, like, put me out there, you know what I'm saying?
At the tracks.
At the tracks.
And have some kind of culpability.
Right.
Okay.
But I wasn't on the tracks where happened.
Understood.
I was in my car with an ounce of cocaine and on those old model Cutlass Supremes. They were long and they had the Ford thing, the stick shift for the automatic. Yeah. They had really long consoles on it. So I would just pour the cocaine out through there, and I would just take my straw and just run up there. I didn't know what was going on.
Right.
I didn't care.
Right. But I want to, again, get back to exactly what transpired to allow you to leave Faulkner County Jail to go back to Saline County Jail. I mean, did they write something down and say, sign this? Did they have you write something down?
They had that Judy and that main guy.
Chief deputy from Saline County.
Yeah,
came
no,
back
chief
with def- her.
Yeah. No, Judy and
her chief deputy.
Right.
Came back
to pick me up.
Just they're running late.
And but that chief deputy or the deputy, I don't know what he was, but I sure know what he looked like. Come in there and said, this is what you're gonna write down.
Do you remember his name?
No.
If you heard his name, would you know it?
Yes. And I know exactly what he looks like. When I sat down, okay, they said, look, we want you to pass the polygraph test. I said, okay. They said, we're going to ask you a series of questions, and you are only to respond yes or no to. Okay.
So wait, you're doing another polygraph test two and a half days later? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
I've been banged up more than once.
And let the record reflect that it's been 28, 29 years. It's been quite a while.
I've had an aneurysm.